everybody. Welcome to the best damn show of all time, Unscripted Unlimited, our second show here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm your humble, gracious, and sexy host, Big Dick Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my host, Small Fried Doug Hummer.
Small Fried Gassy Doug Hummer. And we haven't even eaten dinner yet, and I'm already firing him out.
And Eric's here. How you doing, Eric?
What's up? What's my nickname? Or do I not want to know?
Pain in the ass.
Sexy mama. Or Big Daddy. Big Daddy Eric.
Okay.
You nickname somebody Big Daddy that's 3'8", 3'8" tall.
Top 10 UFC fighters of all time. Tonight we got a hell of a list. We got the top 10 favorite UFC fighters of all time. Me, Doug, and Eric each have been curating all our lists throughout the week.
And we've been coming up with it, too.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You're very excited.
Yeah.
Eric's very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Before we do all that, let's plug some people.
Okay.
Let's plug them hard.
Yeah. You sick bastard. All right. Make sure you listen to Box Fan and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. That is for the Dirt Sheet Dudes, a wrestling show. And then catch them Saturday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for Hollywood Hangout, which is their movie show. And usually on Wednesdays, Eric joins them if he doesn't have to work on Thursday. So make sure you listen to them. Listen to us Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. This Friday night, we are going to be doing WWF Armageddon 2000. And then we're taking a two-week holiday break. So we will not be doing shows Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. We have decided that... those will be, we're going to observe the holidays. Well, Daniel's going to be observing Disney World, so he definitely won't be on.
Yes.
And Eric and I will just fuck up the show by ourselves. So we're going to take a two-week holiday break, but this upcoming week it'll be Armageddon 2000. Listen to us 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On Saturday nights for Unscripted Unlimited. Of course, tonight, top 10 favorite UFC fighters of all time. Then, of course, next week, we are going to be doing a retrospective on Two and a Half Men, our first ever sitcom retrospective. Yeah. Daniel and I have seen many, many episodes of this show, the good ones and the bad ones.
Yeah.
So, the good ones, which would be seasons 1 through 5, and then the bad ones, which is 6 through, the entire rest of the season. So that'll be next week. And then, of course, Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we will not be doing shows.
No.
Again, part of that holiday break. Then listen to Daniel and Mindy tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. For Scaredy Cats, what's on the agenda tomorrow?
Scaredy Cats, we got a lot on the agenda tomorrow.
You don't remember the name of the movie, do you?
The Loved Ones.
Oh, The Loved Ones.
Yeah. Well, put me on spot again, prick.
That's the perfect name for the horror. That's a perfect name for a horror movie. Are we in that?
No.
Yeah, because I was going to say that would be the name of our horror movie.
Is that all we got?
Eric and Clinton this upcoming Wednesday, I think. They said
probably Wednesday
for NFL Hard Hits, usually around 7 p.m. Eastern Time. They're gonna review Week 14, preview Week 15.
Can't believe we're already almost done the season.
I know, time flies. Time flies when the Bills choke.
Absolutely. Aww. Now, the header I said was UFC fighters, and I said UFC fighters, but we're doing all MMA here, right? Because I got a few that never touched the UFC on my list. I'll do it right now. But so our top 10 favorite MMA fighters of all time. This is going to be a fun list. I'm excited to get into it. Obviously, make sure to – obviously, we're not sponsored, but make sure to check out UFC 269 tonight. We can't wait. We're watching it. We're going to be watching it. It's going to be a good time. But let's do this. Top 10 MMA fighters of all time, or favorite MMA fighters of all time. So maybe they're not the greatest fighter, but our favorite fighters of all time.
These are guys that – these are people, not just all guys. But these are people that we enjoy, you know, we enjoy watching their fights.
Yes. So let's get right into it. Let's not fuck around. We'll start off with you, Eric.
Mine is the great TJ Dillashaw.
Or number 10?
Two-time champ. Huh?
Number 10?
Yes. Okay. I had a hard time making this list. I'm just telling you right now, this was difficult for me. But, yeah, TJ Dillashaw, number 10. I mean, he was off for 2 years, so that's why I moved him back to number 10. So, yeah, one of the greatest bantamweights of all time, two-time champion. He beat Cody to regain it a couple years ago, but then he got suspended for testing positive. But he is still one of the greatest bantamweights of all time, in my opinion. The classic with Dominic Cruz. Beat the shit out of Cody Garnett, who's on the card tonight, by the way. So, yeah, TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, TJ Dillashaw is a special case because he came up under the great Uriah Faber, who just missed my list.
Yeah,
over there,
my
team
list too.
But after under Team Alpha Male over there, that has designed quite the many badasses. Very good camp over there. Also the team behind Macy Barber right now, a young prodigy. So good team. But TJ Dillashaw, a lot of people thought he won that Cruz fight. I obviously disagree. But
And why is that? Because Dominic, 3, 2, 1, Dominic Cruz is better. Dominic Cruz is better.
But with all that being said, I'm sorry we're little kids, Eric. But with all that being
said, I know.
TJ Dillashaw is the man. He is legit, and he's on his way to another title run right now. He just came back and beat up Sanhagen and made it look that was a good close fight, but He's still a badass guy.
He didn't make it look easy. No. I mean, Dillashaw, you know, pretty much he probably had to get about 10 facelifts after.
Yeah, but he won statistically. That's what matters. He won the fight.
Yeah.
So, badass dude. He's still got a little more left in the tank. I see at least one more title run. And, he's had a hell of a career so far. And I would agree that he is probably one of the greatest bantamweights of all time. If not D, because he's...
And who knows what would have happened if he never got suspended.
The only negative mark you can put on him is that drop down to fight Henry Cejudo and how that went.
Yeah.
But he's a bantamweight. He's already a bantamweight. He's dropping down to flyweight. I can't imagine that's an easy process.
No.
But, yeah. Definitely, I agree with your number 10. He's a great fighter. I'll go next.
Okay.
DC.
A 10?
Yeah. I got Daniel Cormier. He not only, first of all, as a fighter, I loved him as a fighter. Because if he was the epitome of hard work, that's to me, even though he came on the losing side of that John Jones rivalry, he was the good guy. He was the baby face. If that was a pro wrestling angle, he would have been booked to win at the end. Because, you know, you got – and I love John Jones too, but you got this guy who's kind of a troublemaker, kind of behind the scenes, you know, a bit of a goof – not a goofball, but he gets into stuff and, he, we all have demons. But then you have DC, who's this hardworking dad, loving husband, loving dad, you know, Olympian, who just hard work, hard work, hard work, and it'll pay off. So – DC, not only – to me, he has got the greatest – one of the greatest personalities. He's made the best transition to commentating. Another guy on my list later might disagree, but I think that DC is probably one of the best personalities in MMA. And I would also agree – Chael Sonnen said the other day that he's the Michael Strahan of MMA, and I would agree. And not only as an analyst, but his fight – like, dude, he beat Anderson Silva. He knocked out Stipe. Like, this dude's fucking legit. And Strikeforce, have you seen his Strikeforce shit, Eric? He was a fucking killer.
No, but I heard he was one of the best heavyweight. He was the heavyweight Grand Prix champion. Before he lost to Stipe, he was undefeated in that heavyweight.
He came in the UFC and you know, tallied it off with a victory over Frank Mir. Like, this guy has beaten some high-profile names. He's been in some high-profile fights. And him and Jones is one of the best feuds in UFC history. And he's enigmatic. I just think from personality to everything, DC just has it all. And he was a hell of a fighter, too.
Well, he's got a great personality. I mean, and I just know him really as an analyst. But I do remember back a couple of years ago when Lesnar was trying to get back in the UFC. Because wasn't DC at one time the world champion?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was after he knocked out Stipe, when that infamous call out of Brock Lesnar, when Brock got in the cage and pushed him.
Right. So then, like, you know, that's what they figured the big money fight was. It was going to happen because Brock was coming out of a contract with WWE. He wanted to get back in the UFC. He wanted to fight Cormier. But Dana White kind of stepped in and said, no, it's not going to happen. Brock, last time we let you back, you were on the juice. I ain't fucking going through that again.
Yeah.
So, Brock, whether you want to be or not, you're retired from MMA, which pissed a lot of – well, I don't know if it pissed a lot of people. I think it pissed a lot of MMA fans off because that it meant what was going to happen. It pissed me off because that meant Brock Lesnar was staying with WWE and was probably going to get another seven-year reign with the Universal title because he only works, you know, five WWE shows a year.
Yeah.
Or five WWE shows every two years. But like, you know, Brock Lesnar and DC would have been, you know, a big time fight.
Yeah.
But DC, and I kind of disagree the whole thing, and this is just talking about DC as an analyst. I disagree kind of with Dominic Cruz's critique. Because I enjoy DC on commentary.
Yeah, I think you need your different styles. Dominic's great because he's to the point, to the hip. He's a straight shooter. He's an analyst. But you need a color guy, and that's what DC provides.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like,
color commentary.
The two guys I love that I actually wish were calling a fight tonight, you know, fuck Joe Rogan. It's got to be, I think, you know, the best.
That's
team.
Not the best way to expand our podcast.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I say that is because I think DC and Bispin are the best when they're together. I mean, you know, Rogan does a good job and all that, and they save him for the big pay-per-views because, you know, he's a big name and, you know, he knows a lot about MMA. But I enjoy fights more when Daniel Cormier and Michael Bispin are on the call.
Yeah.
Because there's a great chemistry there.
Great personalities.
Yeah. And, I mean, Rogan's got a good personality, too. I mean, basically, you know, him, Dana White, and I, you know, we're triplets.
I just think the thing about DC and which makes him so likable, because he's got the, like Chael said, he's got the gift of likability. He's a lovable guy. He's the baddest guy in the room, but he's also this big, lovable bear. There's something about him that you're going to like DC with the humor. There's something about him.
Yeah, but don't piss him off.
Don't piss him off. He's a badass dude. He'll fuck you up, you know. This is the guy that trains with Khabib and shit. He's a killer, but he's also just a sweet individual, and he's just a true fan. He's like one of us if we made it like that. It was a big...
Oh, yeah. He's a lovable bear.
Yeah.
Teddy bear.
He's a lovable bear. And just strap Olympian on top of that. He's also very legit.
You're right.
All right, Doug, who's your 10?
All right, my 10, and this is going to be very contradicting because this guy is also a wrestler, but I hate him as a wrestler. and that's Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
But I like him as a fighter because I've seen a couple of his Bellator fights.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Now, like, again, I'm not a huge fan of his wrestling. I mean, the stuff he's been doing kind of this past year was good unless MVP was involved. Like, because Bobby Lashley, he's this big train killer. He doesn't need the help and all that. But yet you have MVP come out, distract the opponents, and Bobby Lashley just beat the shit out of him for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily agree with that. That's kind of the old earthquake Jimmy Hart mentality. It's like, okay, if you see your guy start to get in trouble, you get involved right away. So it's a squash and everybody leaves. Because that's the only time you're supposed to do that is when, you know, your guy is limited, which Bobby Lashley is not. He's a legit amateur athlete.
Yeah.
Or he was a badass MMA fighter.
I think he arguably had a better transition to MMA than Brock Lesnar.
I think so too. And the thing is that, like, I feel like now, like, especially in his, not necessarily in MMA, because I feel like he did a better job, like you said, he did a better job of MMA than Lesnar did. But, like, his wrestling career, like, they wanted him to be the next Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I made a comparison the other day that I'm not going to do on air because we'll get thrown off. Just trust me. But in MMA, he was a badass.
I never understood why. Well, he was in Strikeforce too. I think he started in Strikeforce with the Bellator. I never understood why they never really pushed Bobby Lashley to the marquee. Because he was winning fights, he was badass, he was a wrestler. Not the name that Lesnar was, but he was a name, he was a champion. And you know, he was always like the third one down or the fourth one down, or even sometimes on the prelims.
Well, I think it also had to do with the fact that he was still wrestling too. And I don't think either Bellator or MMA, or Bellator, what the fuck, Bellator or Strikeforce had that much faith in him. Because they also knew he was right. If he was going to commit to them full time.
Yeah. Kind of like Jake Hager. Because that's what Hager's doing.
Yeah. Hager's not getting any. I mean, I think he's been off TV for a while, so he might be training for another fight now.
Yeah. But, and he's ranked, but he's not like a top five guy or anything.
Right. So it's just more.
But Bobby was damn good when he did it. I agree.
I mean, I definitely agree. I didn't start becoming an MMA guy until about 6 months ago.
It would have been a dream fight to have him go into the UFC when he did and face some of those top heavyweights.
Right. Like, you can almost see, like, even now, like, if he wanted to get back in the MMA, which I don't know, like, if they would let him get back in the MMA or not. I know WWE wouldn't let him do it. But if he would have stayed. And imagine him going against Daniel Cormier. Like, if he would have went to UFC instead of coming to WWE. All right? Because he was an American Top Team guy.
Yeah.
Okay? So, like, him against Cormier, or even now, like, him and Tuivasa.
Jake Hager.
Or Black Beast Lewis.
Yeah.
Or even now, against the guy that, you know, beat up, Derek Lewis, that's Cyril Gane.
Yeah.
All right. Gane versus Lashley, he would actually be a decent match. What are you saying?
I said he's the next champion.
Who, Gane?
I have that, too. Yeah. I'm betting on Gane. He's a complete heavyweight.
Yeah, and that's going to be...
I can't wait for that.
Middle of January.
Yeah.
Because that's 270.
Yeah. Him and Nagano is going to be great. But, Bobby Lashley, world-renowned. And, you know, like, it just doesn't get enough credit. So I'm glad you put him on your list.
Yeah. And, again, I don't like the guy as a wrestler.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to deny his talent. I did enjoy watching it because, again, like, I watched his fights back when I didn't give two shits about MMA.
Yeah.
I didn't even give one shit about MMA. But, I did enjoy his fights. I thought he was a really good fighter. And to be honest with you, for a time, You know, I felt like he should have just stayed there.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Eric, you're number nine.
Forrest Griffin, the former light heavyweight champion who beat Quinn Rampage Jackson, but then lost the title after that. But I enjoyed Forrest. I thought not only is he a great fighter, but he's a great personality. He's funny. He won the first season Ultimate Fighter. As I said, he beat Quinn Rampage Jackson, another legend. And I just loved him. I loved watching his fights. He's a funny guy, personality-wise, and good guy overall.
Yeah, he's another guy that's just truly likable. There's something about him. He's like an everyman. Like, you see all these big hulking beasts in the UFC, and then you see Forrest Griffin. It's like, that's a guy I'd probably play video games with on a Saturday.
Well, and the thing is like Eric said, he started out on the Ultimate Fighter.
He is the first ever winner.
Yeah, and I remember that. He is on my list. We're not going to get to him until later, but I might as well fucking talk about him now.
He's just like,
because I didn't really watch Ultimate Fighter, but like I thought it was interesting, like the whole concept.
Yeah.
Because it would come on like right after Raw or whatever. And like you would see these guys, you know, have to go through the ringer and like, because it's not like, you know, tough enough.
No.
To where, like, you know, they just go through, like, some kind of endurance competition. Like, if you lose a fight, you're getting eliminated from the show.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, to be honest with you, like, that's actually a good way for those competitions to go. But, see, I like Forrest Griffin, too. That's why, you know, he's on my list. I mean, I think you're doing him a disservice by only putting him at nine. But,
yeah, as I said, this is a hard list, and there's other guys that I like kind of better than him. Trust me, I didn't want to put him at nine, but there's just other fighters I like, too.
Right. But, yeah, he just
The thing is, I mean, he went in, what year did he go into the UFC Hall of Fame?
Did he make it to the Hall of Fame yet?
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. I think it was 16 or 17. But what we can't forget about Forrest Griffin is not only, I mean, he beat Tito Ortiz, he's beaten Rampage Jackson, but he saved the company. He is one of the most important fighters in UFC history, because that Ultimate Fighter finale fight with Stephen Bonner, which is it's one of the greatest MMA fights of all time. Check it out if you've never seen it. That saved the company. That and they attribute that to that. The ratings that they got from that, because it was on Spike, and that saved the company. And it's one of the things that they, you know, because it was still kind of in the dark ages, but with the success of the Ultimate Fighter and stuff, the UFC kind of made it out of the dark ages, started making some money. This is one of the things that helped them do that. So Forrest Griffin is monumental for various different reasons.
Right, because he was a virtual unknown, and he won the damn thing.
Yeah. And that fight with Stephen Bonner was viewed by so many people.
Yeah, he was number one on top 100 fighters, range fighters of all time.
Well, and I gotta ask this: like, Ultimate Fighter, when did Dana White purchase the UFC?
It was before. Zuffa purchase was in 2001,
and that's what Dana White was part of.
Yeah.
And this started, I think, you know, 2004. So this was kind of Dana kind of trying to put everything out there on the map.
Yeah.
And obviously it worked, and Forrest Griffin helping out with that, because nobody knew who the hell, nobody really knew who he was, like I said, going in.
No.
And now, you know, he became, he was light heavyweight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably up there in like top five, top 10 greatest light heavyweights of all time.
I agree. He's the man. All right, my number nine, not as well known in the States, but you know I'm in love with her, and also she's great. Angela Lee, the one championships, anthem weight champion, great female fighter, probably the Thug Rose of Singapore. She is crazy. Oh. She was undefeated for the longest time until she went up a weight to go straw weight. She went, and that's her only loss. She lost that the double championship match. But then the girl that she lost to went down to try to get her anthemweight title, and Angelique won. Now, she just had a baby and everything, so she hasn't fought in a couple years. But she's coming back. They kept the title on her, and she's going to fight Stamp Fairtex, who's you know,
nice.
A young prodigy down there too. So that'll be a good fight to look forward to in the new year. But Angela Lee, she's legit.
Yeah.
I've shown you some videos.
Well, yeah. And, like, here's the thing. She does pressers with the baby.
Yeah.
All right. Because normally, like, any sane person would say, okay, you know, can somebody watch the baby while I do the presser?
Yeah.
All right. Instead, she's got the baby, you know, kind of strapped to her. And then, but, you know, the baby's hungry, so the baby's grabbing at, you know, the food supply.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, all right, that's kind of badass. Like, you're showing, like, you don't give a fuck. Like, you're showing off that you're a mom.
Yeah. It's kind of dope.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole Lee family down there, if you don't know them, look them up. Her brother Christian was the lightweight champion until recently. He's 23. She's 25. She won the title at 19. And her little sister Victoria, who just started fighting and is 17 years old right now, she started at 16. She's 3-0. So this is a badass family. This is you can compare them. I think they're like a modern-day Gracies.
And the funny thing is too, is that, like, you know, one championship, it's in the continent of Asia, correct?
Yes.
So, like, if you want to watch their fights, you have to get up at fucking 6 in the morning to watch this shit. But it's actually, I mean, well, Dan, you and I don't have a problem getting up that early because.
Yeah, we have to. But it's good fighting, and it actually is one of the top MMA organizations in the world. Like, it's kind of like a soccer. Like UFC is the biggest in America, but I think full of world viewership, one actually has more. We're talking about every continent.
Yeah.
So, but Angela Lee is a big reason for that and a badass woman, so I had to put her on my list.
Yeah, do you think that she'll ever make the transition? Do you think they'll try to get her over here?
I think they want to, but I think her fan, like, she is the poster girl for one. Like, she is the, like, when you think of one, you think of her and her brother. So, I mean, maybe, or maybe do a dream fight with her and Thug Rose. That'd be amazing, but, you know, you never know. I'd like to see it.
I mean, it would be something to do, like, an interpromotional thing. I mean, obviously, the money would have to be right. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, it could very well happen. I mean, if she keeps up the momentum she has, then obviously she's going to be doing this for a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, who's your number nine?
Somebody that is still up and coming, Tai Tuivasa.
Bam, bam.
Yeah. Who's fighting on the prelims for tonight, of the prelims that start at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I saw his last fight. And by the way, like, this is a guy who I guess you would technically say he does not like America's Top Team.
Why?
Because he's fought two of them. All right. Junior Dos Santos beat him.
Yeah.
But he beat Orlovsky.
Yeah.
So he should have worked Inner Circle's corner at Full Gear. But, you know, the fight, I think this was he was on the 264 card, right?
Yeah, he was on the McGregor card against Greg Hardy.
Okay. And already, like, because I don't like Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
I think he's a dick.
Yeah.
Because I think the only, you know, I mean, Greg Hardy would have won the fight if Tai Tuivasa was a woman. All right, because that's all Greg Hardy can beat up. But he, you know, Tuivasa came in. It was a first-round knockout. It was just, you know,
I mean, and Greg Hardy was kind of controlling the fight, but Tuivasa got that shot in, knocked Greg Hardy on his ass. And I like Tuivasa because I like the character, and I like, you know, the charisma, because he comes out to Spice Girls and he drinks beer out of a shoe.
Yeah, and he's done that like his past five fights, the beer thing.
Yeah, so he
has fun, and you know, sometimes that can get you in trouble, but he's a young guy. And I think the best is yet to come from this young man.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, he's going to be in action a little bit later on. But I just like him, and I want to see him kind of climb up the ranks.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of disappoints me that he's on a fucking prelim.
Yeah.
Instead of on a pay-per-view, but, you know, what the fuck are you going to do?
Damn.
Miranda Maverick cannot catch a break.
I know. She keeps losing.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it's bad enough she looks like a Jungle Boy in drag.
Oh, but, Jesus Christ. Oh. All right.
God.
I've been holding that in for 20 minutes.
Eric, you're number 8.
My number 8 is the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. Another former light heavyweight. Excuse me, sorry. Another former light heavyweight champion, Chuck Liddell. One of the greatest of all time. Another great personality, as we know from Celebrity Big Brother, Doug. He's just another great guy, great champion, and a legend. One of the reasons why I became a UFC fan, too, Chuck Liddell. His feud with Tito Ortiz is right up there with Jones and DC. They were like best friends and hating each other now, or hating each other.
And that's, like, it's the one thing, like, when you think about a UFC fighter, especially in the mid-2000s, your idea of a UFC fighter, it's Chuck Liddell. You think of a guy with a mohawk, like Chuck Liddell. He was just badass. He's beaten a lot of motherfuckers. He's been knocked out sometimes, too, but that his striking, he was monumental for various reasons, because he was one of the guys who had decent wrestling, but all he ever used his wrestling was to keep the fight on the feet. He would use his defensive wrestling so they could keep the fight on the feet and he could keep punching. So he's probably the most popular MMA fighter of all time, and deservedly so. And his wars with Tito Ortiz was amazing. His war with Randy Couture, even though he lost, was amazing. But he has had some monumental fights, and that truly a legend.
His fight with Rampage was pretty decent. That's when Rampage didn't beat him, right? I forget.
Yeah, he lost to Rampage. Twice, actually. Because he lost to Pride once, too.
Yeah, no, he was in Pride, too. I forgot that.
And Liddell's another one on my list. So if Eric keeps just taking guys off my list, I'm just going to leave. But Liddell's actually further down here.
But,
I would say fuck you, but it's okay.
I love Chuck Liddell. We all love Chuck Liddell. You can't hate Chuck Liddell. There's just something about he's likable. He's one of those. He's got that gruff personality. He's been in every cameo that you could ever get. I mean, he should have enough money to retire now, because he has done so much different shit. And your favorite TV show, he's probably cameoing on it. He's probably been on a commercial for your favorite product. He was on Celebrity Big Brother. He's a badass and a true knockout artist.
True legend.
Yeah, well, he was the coach on the first Ultimate Fighter, right?
No.
He was one of the coaches for some season.
Was it Team Couture versus Team Liddell?
Yeah, I think it was, actually. Either that or it was Ortiz and Shamrock. I can't remember.
I think Ortiz Shamrock was the second one.
My number 8 is a young man that we just, well, he's not young anymore, but you just referenced American. And he actually knocked Chuck Liddell out on two occasions. Rampage Jackson. All I can say when I think of Rampage Jackson is a badass motherfucker. I know he's gotten in some trouble. He was in the A-team, for God's sakes. And despite what people say, I think he was good in that movie. but also he's just hilarious. He's got a great personality, but he also, like, just as a fighter, he's ruthless. And he's got two different personalities. He's the lovable guy doing interviews that's making fun of Ariel Helwani, and then he's the badass, you know, Rampage, you know, when he does the howl, and he's about to knock you out. John Jones has gone publicly to state that the only opponent that he was ever nervous to fight was Rampage Jackson. That was the only one that gave him any type of nerves. Rampage is a truly brutal, badass guy, and he's knocked out a lot of legendary people.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, you don't want to mess with him.
He did the crossover, he joined fucking Main Event Mafia in TNA.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, because they were kind of doing the crossover for Bellator, because him and Tito Ortiz, I think, were having a fight.
Yeah, he just got to Bellator.
Yeah. Because they were going to do a fight, so they had him join Main Event Mafia, and they had Tito Ortiz join Aces and Eights. And then Bellator got sick of Dixie Carter. You know, imagine that. Somebody thinks Dixie Carter's completely stupid. So, you know, Bellator basically said, all right, you guys, you're not doing Impact anymore. Like, you're done.
Yep.
But, yeah, Rampage Jackson, and the whole thing with the A-Team, and I saw the A-Team movie, and it was actually pretty good, okay? But, like, when they did the cross-promotion when they were on Raw, you would think, okay, out of all the guys for a fucking bunch of old-timers to fucking kidnap, all right, because they did the thing where they kidnapped, Rampage or whatever, Ransom, because Piper actually thought he was Mr. T. Out of all the guys to kidnap, wouldn't you want to kidnap the guys that really can't defend themselves? You don't kidnap the MMA fighter.
Yeah, the one that can beat your ass. But he was a beast in Pride. If you just know him by his UFC career, you're doing a disservice. He was great in the UFC as well, but his Pride stuff is when he really, you know, his wars with Vandal.
He was a legend.
Yeah, he was a legend.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, he had wars with Vanderlei Silva. And then he got to the UFC and knocked him out. But he is a beast. All right, Doug, who do you got at number 8?
All right, I'm hoping, you know, because Eric's, you know, taking two of mine already. I'm hoping I'm getting one of his. Randy Couture.
He just missed the cut.
Absolute legend, though. And people forget that he started over the age of 30. He started at 30 years old training to be an MMA fighter.
Yeah. And what's funny, too, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
His first MMA fight was against a guy by the name of Tony Hahn, who wrestling fans know as Ludwig Borga.
Forgot he did MMA.
And this was, I think, 2001. And Borga, or he beat Tony Hahn. That was his first fight, first win.
Yeah.
Of course, Tony Hahn would, he was also a member of the Finnish parliament. And because he was a member of the Finnish parliament, he got shot and killed. Back, I think that was 2007.
Yeah, but Randy Couture is an absolute badass. Like you said, coach for Season Ultimate Fighter. He is truly a legend, and he's one of them gruff guys, one of the early legends, Shamrock and Liddell.
Also personality, too.
He's got good personality.
He's done movies.
Yeah.
He was on Lip Sync Battle.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's beat Chuck Liddell. He's beat a lot of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
Yeah. I mean, and I think a lot of people, people might say that his career kind of went downhill, you know, when he lost to Brock Lesnar, when Brock Lesnar was having tummy troubles. But, you know, Brock Lesnar is just a fucking beast.
Brock was having tummy troubles his whole career, though. That was his third fight.
Yeah.
So, and Brock was a badass at that point, and Randy was getting old. So, it was just a good passing of the torch. Randy is a legend, though. And for what he's done, he's amazing.
Yeah, no, I happen to like Randy before. Because, again, like I said, he's, yeah, you know, got a lot of personality. He did a lip sync battle against Gabriel Iglesias. And
that's a matchup.
When they do the second round, which the second round you're allowed to do like costumes and choreography and shit. Randy Couture did Olivia Newton-John's physical. So he dressed up and, you know, the workout outfit, you know, he had the headband on, you know, really short gym shorts. And, you know, he ended up losing because Gabriel Iglesias, when he came out, or when he did his second round, he dressed up as a woman and did Donna Summer's Hot Stuff. And after that performance was over with, you know, Randy Couture looked at LL Cool J and said, I know I just lost because you can't beat a fat man dressed as a woman. And he was right, he lost. But, yeah, no, Randy Couture, again, for somebody that – and I love it when these MMA fighters, like, as deadly and as badass as they could be.
When they have fun and show a little personality, it could be a good time.
Yeah, and Randy Couture, like, during his MMA career, you didn't think that Randy Couture could, you know, have that personality.
No.
You thought he had his personality surgically removed.
Yeah.
But – he was just, he's that good.
Yeah, he was rough and gruff. He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, you're number seven.
This guy is in the main event tonight, and I'm hoping he wins. Mr. Dustin Diamond Poirier. Another guy that's very well-liked in UFC, probably one of the most popular today. He beat Connor twice this year. I mean, the third one was he broke his leg. But, yeah, he's one of the best fighters in the UFC today, and his striking is amazing. And he has some ground game that Charles better watch out for tonight.
And they're calling for him to win the title tonight, right?
Yeah, he's the challenger, but he's the favorite. But, Dustin, he's just, when I think of the Diamond, I think of a consummate professional, especially when he went up against like McGregor. He's just he's a good guy. He's humble. And I think a lot of problems with this main event is that you like both guys, so you don't want to see either one lose, because Olivier is a sweetheart too.
Yeah.
And both deserve that moment.
They're both
so
great guys.
You don't want to see either kind of get heartbroken, but one's got to, only one can be the best. But Dustin Poirier, he's went to war with Justin Gaethje, he won. He's the only one that really tested Khabib. He is a monster at a lightweight. And one of the greatest moves of his career was going from featherweight to lightweight, because he just looked so much better there. He looked so much healthier. He looked very bony and like he wasn't supposed to be a featherweight. Now he looks kind of muscular and where he's like healthy at. And he is a complete badass, and I will not be surprised if he wins the title tonight. I love Dustin Poirier.
I just want to stay up for this.
Yeah.
And he does a lot for the community, too.
Yes. And he's a hot sauce fan. He makes his own hot sauce.
And here's my thing about Dustin Poirier. Because I saw obviously, we all watched the McGregor fight. That's actually the first live pay-per-view we ever bought. And it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, only because I had on the prelims for that fucking fight. And, you know, then 10 minutes later, we downloaded the ESPN Plus and bought the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But, like, with Poirier, the McGregor thing... Would he have won, like, if McGregor didn't break his ankle, would Poirier have won? Because he won that first round. That's the only reason why they gave him the fight.
I mean, it was pure domination from what I saw. It was not very competitive. He was chopping McGregor.
Yeah, but you had an issue with him winning the fight.
Because I bet on McGregor. But I like Poirier way better as a person, and I enjoy him as a fighter.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good fight. I personally think the guy is gonna win.
I guess we'll see what happens.
Technically, we haven't seen like the pay per views. The last several pay per views that have been on, there technically has not been a title. Well, except for the interim title.
Yeah, there hasn't been a title.
There hasn't been a title switch yet, but I think that's gonna happen. Just like I think it's also going to happen in January, because I think Gon's going to beat Nagano.
Yeah.
That's why you're going to see Nagano 2 weeks before the fight pull out.
And this has arguably been one of the best years in MMA, too. It was a good year for us to get on board. Arguably one of the best years, and Poirier is the reason one of it. He's one of the biggest stars right now, and deservedly so.
Right.
Just a humble beast. Yep. I love that dude. And he'll never brag about it. Now, for my number seven, I have probably the greatest talker in the business. I know you're surprised he's only number seven on my list, Doug, but I have the gangster from Westland, Oregon, Chael Sonnen. He's the reason the business has changed to this day. He changed the business. For good or bad, business, it's a sport and it is a legitimate sport, but it's drove on media and it's drove on personality and being a talker. And he's the reason for that. He set the precedent when he lost to Anderson Silva twice and then got an immediate title shot against John Jones for the light heavyweight title. And he hadn't fought in that division in 6 years. And that was all because he was such a good talker and he sold a lot of pay-per-views and people wanted to see him fight. So he changed the game. He also beat Anderson Silva's ass for 25 minutes till he got caught. But that feud, when you said Liddell, Ortiz, Jones, and DC, that right there, Chael and Anderson Silva is right up there with it. That is in my top five MMA feuds of all time. And Chael's a big reason because of that. He sold every fight, every fighter he went up against, Bisping, anybody, that people went to watch that because of Chael Sonnen. And he's doing the same thing with podcasts and stuff now.
I love hearing him talk about it. I would love for him to do color on one of these.
Yeah.
On one of these cards. Because he's a great analyst and all that. Now, as a fighter, I did not really like him.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, you know, going back and watching, because I did see him do a fight. I watched the fight between him and John Jones, where John Jones actually broke his toe kicking him in the head.
Yeah. And poor Chael, because Chael, the only mark on his career is that he never won the big one, and he got so close so many times. And that was another reason, because Jones ended that fight about 5 seconds before the bell. So 5 more seconds, there would have been a doctor stoppage because of that foot, and we would have had a new world champion in Chael Sonnen. So Chael is he's constant. He's consistent. His talking's amazing, and you're going to go watch a fight to see Chael Sonnen, you know, someone try to kick his ass.
Right.
He brings him money.
He does bring him money. And he was like one of the first. That's why I had to put, because he's a trailblazer. We wouldn't have the McGregors. We wouldn't have the Nate Diaz. We wouldn't have the guys we have now without him.
My dream, like MMA, like roundtable show. And if we ever become big enough, we actually have to host this. Would be him, DC, or both DCs, Dominic Cruz and Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
Or Chael, both DCs, and Bisping. And, you know, and the Hama hosting.
Yes.
But
that would be awesome.
Yeah. But we'd need a lot of money, so I got to quit spending it on Christmas presents.
Yeah. All right, Doug, who do you got at number seven?
Michael Bisping.
Nice.
Bisping, again, he's actually my favorite analyst right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, mainly, too, because, you know, they say that he, you know, DC said he's the angriest person alive. But, like, just watching some of his stuff, and, like, he doesn't get flustered, like, you know, when Kobe Covington was calling him out.
Yeah.
He's just like, whatever.
And he shit all over Kobe, and that was as an analyst. And his shit talk was still beautiful.
Yeah.
And he still made Kobe look like a dick.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw, you know, he beat Luke Rockhold in the very first round. It was just, like, what, a minute or two?
Mm-hmm.
You know, won the title. I mean, obviously, he lost the title to GSP. And, I think that was that wasn't his last fight, but that was his second to last fight.
Yeah.
But still, like, he's just, again, he's an Ultimate Fighter winner.
Yes.
The third season, I believe.
Yes. And he's like, his career is so cool because of the lows, too, because you think of the big Dan Henderson knockout where Bisping got fucked up, and you think of the Chael Sonnen loss, and you think of, but you also think of the story. He had not had a title shot after being there for a decade.
and he got one title shot for the middleweight title against Luke Rockhold, a cocky Luke Rockhold, who everyone thought was going to win, and Luke Rockhold is a savage. But Michael Bisping came out there and knocked him out in the first round, won his belt, Cinderella story. So he was a shit-talker, and he was a dickhead, too. But he was one of those guys that you can't help but love him, even though he's a lovable dick. It's like he's the guy in your group that he's a dick, but he's our dick. And that's how you look at Bisping. And he's hilarious.
I used to not like him, but...
Yeah, but he won Yoga.
I'm sorry,
right?
Daniel.
No, I agree with you. But that's how he was for me, too. I feel like he won everybody over. Everyone didn't like Bisping at one point and likes him now.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. I mean, I probably enjoy him more because he's an analyst, but...
All right, boys, we're going to go to five and then continue this on my next time. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to...
We'll call this part one because we're getting a little long.
Okay.
We got your number six right now, Eric.
The former heavyweight two-time champion, Cain Velasquez. This guy was a beast. He was the best heavyweight before what was his name? Stipe. Before he got all the injuries, he beat Junior Dos Santos twice after he lost it. Yeah, this guy was just a beast. No ways he could have been the best heavyweight of all time if it wasn't for the injuries. He was that legit.
Absolute badass. The greatest heavyweight wrestler of all time. His wrestling was impeccable. If you went to the ground with Cain Velasquez, don't even fight for the rest of the fight. His ground and pound was incredible. And on the feet, he was a killer, too. He destroyed Brock Lesnar. He was just the man. There was something about Cain Velasquez. You know, he's just – and he's intimidating, too. That's the guy you don't want – like, even in the face-off, anybody that faces off against him looks scared because he is just a badass dude. There's something – he's crazy. And he's a professional, too. He's humble. But, you know, when he's staring across from you, I don't want to be on the other side of that octagon.
Oh, no. Him and DC are, like, great friends, too, so.
Yeah. But he's a killer. I agree with that pick. He's amazing. Okay. Let me look at my number six here. My number six, underrated – and probably one of the better welterweights or middleweights of all time, Matt Hughes.
Yep.
I think he gets lost in discussion when you talk about the GSPs and the Anderson Silvas. But around that time, Matt Hughes was an absolute badass. He's a Hall of Famer. He's had huge wins, you know, the big win over Frank Trigg and the wars with GSP. Just a great fighter and an absolute legend, humble, just seems like a nice guy. He's to me what makes the sport legit, because he just goes there, wants to fight, and works his ass off. It's not about the talking or anything. Matt Hughes.
Yep.
Right. I don't really know a lot about
BJ Penn too, right?
What was that?
Did he fight BJ Penn? I forget.
Yes, he did fight BJ Penn. I can't remember who won though.
Well, Matt Hughes, wasn't he like one of the better fighters of like the early 2010s?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The mid-2000 era, the Chuck Liddell, Tito era, he was one of the top guys, too, with GSP and all that. He was absolutely incredible, so I had to put him on there. All right, Doug, number six.
GSP, George St. Pierre.
Nice.
I mean, the GOAT. It's hard to, like, besides that loss to Matt Serra, which was kind of a fluke because then he came back and kicked his ass, GSP is just probably the greatest of all time. When you think about pound for pound, that man, and professional, always wore the suit. And that was an era, like, it would not be uncommon for a press conference to see everybody in a t-shirt and jeans, even fucking Dana White usually. But he would always wear the suit, and he's always very professional. He's a Frenchman, and he's just very polite, very humble, and he goes in there and he beats ass. He beat PJ Penn, your boy.
Yeah, and he...
My boy,
He was one... He retired on top, technically.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't take another fight because of his colitis. And he also, you know, kind of being a businessman, he wanted to go... Didn't he want to go up a weight class?
Yeah.
Was it go up or go down?
He did go up a weight class when he came back. Because he's a welterweight legend. He's known as the greatest welterweight of all time. But when he came back and beat Bisping for the title and then retired officially, it was the middleweight.
He wanted to go back to welterweight, I think.
Okay.
He wanted I think he wanted a Diaz fight.
Okay.
And Dana said, no, you're staying at where you are.
Yeah.
So he had, I mean, he had already declined the title or vacated the title.
Yeah.
Because of his medical condition. But he had, but he wanted the Lawler, or not the, the Diaz fight. And Dana said, no, you're sticking where you are. So Dana tried to set up another fight and GSP just said, nah, I'm good.
But yeah, he is an absolute legend.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. One of my favorites.
Wasn't he like on a card or something that we had reviewed? He was a prelim, but because the fucking thing went...
Yeah, the Ken Shamrock Kimo Leopoldo fight.
Right, and because that thing was going too quick, they actually aired a prelim on the main card, right?
Yeah.
Or two, right? Because Trig?
Yeah, because of Trigger. So, yeah, he was an absolute badass.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He's just, and a likable guy. But, all right, let's close it out. Who's your number five, Eric?
Amanda Nunes, the GOAT. In my opinion, the GOAT. She's the best women's fighter of all time. She's fighting tonight. I think she's going to destroy Pena, who's a talker. Yeah, good luck to her. Manu Nunez, featherweight champion and bantamweight champion. She hasn't been beaten in a couple of years. I don't even know the last time she was beaten.
She hasn't been beaten since 2014, which is fucking incredible. Her last loss was to Kat Zingano in 2014. Amanda Nunes is the GOAT. When you think of, she is the female Jon Jones, she's the greatest female of all time. She is almost unbeatable. That fight with Chris Cyborg, that super fight, Chris Cyborg deserves to be on any list too. She is probably the best striker that females have ever seen, and Nunes made her look silly. Nunes beat the shit out of her. Nunes beat the shit out of Rousey. She's beat the shit out of Misha. She has beat every top woman that we know. She is absolutely incredible, and she is the greatest of all time. I hope she loses tonight, but she is
great woman too.
Yeah.
My number five is actually a woman that Amanda's actually beat before, but I had to put her on this list because she ended the hype train that was Ronda Rousey and head kicked her into non-existence, Holly Holm.
Yeah, I could not believe that, by the way, because Ronda Rousey, because that was around the time where WWE started kind of wanting Ronda.
Yeah.
And then she loses the fight, which Dana White wasn't going to let Ronda go anyway.
Yeah.
Because they started talking about, letting Ronda do the mixed tag with The Rock against Triple H and Stephanie. And when Dana White was asked about it, he's like, fuck WWE, he ain't going.
Yeah.
Not as long as I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let her do some fake bullshit. And then, of course, that actually caused, Rock to start thing. Because Rock wanted the mixed. Rock didn't want to do a WrestleMania single match against Triple H.
Yeah.
He wanted the mixed tag. But because Dana White said no, but then, Ronda Rousey started kind of losing her appeal. Because she was, because she got beat by Holly Holm, which nobody saw coming.
Yeah. And then she came back and lost the game.
That was a great knockout.
That head kick was nuts. Holly was a massive underdog on that fight. And she all she needed, and she's had good fights since then, and she is a legend, but all she needed was that moment. And it just kind of exploded her into notoriety.
And here's the thing is that, a lot of people will say, okay, she was a one-hit wonder.
That's a big hit, though. At least you have a hit.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say, too, is that, people say that all the time, about, certain wrestlers and stuff, too.
Yeah.
And they had a hit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You go and you see, they'll say like certain football teams are one hit wonders or something like that, or certain quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Certain, obviously music, because that's where it comes from, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite songs of all time is, you know, 8675309, you know,
yeah,
by Tommy Tutone. They didn't have a hit after that.
Yeah. And the thing is, and it's an everything, but it's a beautiful thing about sports, which you have your legends that never die. You have your GSPs, you have your Tom Brady's, you have your LeBrons, but you also have sometimes just a normal person or just someone else catches lightning in a bottle,
yeah,
one time or for a little stretch, maybe a season or something. Holly Holm caught lightning in a bottle. And that was a great head kick. She trains with John Jones, the greatest. So you know she's legit. And she beat the shit out of Ronda Rousey. And
she basically ended his career in MMA.
Yeah. And she deserves
a
place
to finish it, but
for that alone. She is absolutely incredible. Now, before we go home here, Doug, this is a great start to this. Our first, our bottom five of our top ten. We will do the part two soon. Who do you got?
All right, so my number five is Ken Shamrock.
Okay.
Okay. And I picked Shamrock. Shamrock was actually my favorite wrestler in WWE for the 2 years that he was there.
Yes.
Okay, but Shamrock also, he gained notoriety in the cage. And he just, to me, he's one of those guys that, because he came from a bad background. He jumped from foster home to foster home because nobody really wanted him. He really didn't have a place in life. So he just started taking up fighting because he did that to survive. And he was a pretty damn good fighter, too. You know, the early wars he had with Dan Severn, which WWE wanted to capitalize on, but they didn't know how. With Dan Severn, when we do our, you know, well, it'll be top four.
Yeah.
Technically. When we do our part two, Dan Severn will be on there.
Yeah.
Shamrock is just, when I think of Shamrock, I think he is one of the original UFC fighters.
Yeah, he is. He should be the guy. I mean, it sucks that he's such a dickhead businessman because he should be out there before every UFC fight, you know, shaking the guy's hands, and he should be considered the legend that he is because he's a legend.
He should be an ambassador for UFC, but
yeah,
he's not because Dana White can't stand a bastard.
Yeah,
because
he's fucked him over so many times. But he, as far as a competitor, as an athlete, it's hard to get better than Shamrock. And he's, when you talk about saving the company, his feud, even though he came on the losing side of it all the time, his feud with Tito Ortiz helped save the company. And it was in the dark ages. And those pay-per-view buys that they got for Tito Shamrock 2 were huge. So, legend. Now, this was great, guys.
Yeah.
This was a great time, and I can't wait to do part two. I had a great time. We all love MMA, and it's fun talking about it. And I'm sure we will be talking about 269 as well. And I hope everyone has a beautiful rest of their Saturday.
Yeah. These next five hours – are going to be fantastic, like with these prelims that are coming up and then the main card.
Yes.
Thank God we all got a nap. I mean, Eric almost fucked my nap up because he would not shut up for a half hour. But I still got a proper one in.
I didn't know you were taking a nap.
You still got a proper nap. It's okay. But absolutely. All right, Eric. Love you. Doug, this is a great time.
Yeah, love you guys.
And we'll see everybody next week.
All righty.